The trial takes patients who have colon or rectal cancer, metastatic to the liver, and they have to have 6 or less metastases, no disease outside the liver at the time, and it randomizes them after surgical resection or ablation, so modern surgical techniques, not just resection, which has been in most of the other trials, and then randomizes them to either receive systemic chemotherapy alone with capecitabine and oxaliplatin, or that combination plus 4 cycles of hepatic artery infusion chemotherapy with FUDR.
Can you talk about the phase 2 study that preceded this?
The information that we had was primarily about toxicity of the combination of an operation or an ablation with the two drugs, and the two drugs, capecitabine and oxaliplatin, were alternated with hepatic artery infusion therapy. So the patients would get the oxaliplatin, 2 weeks of capecitabine, a week of rest, then 2 weeks of FUDR, 4 cycles of that, and then 2 cycles of just the systemic.
Can you summarize the bottom line that came out of that in terms of the side effects and toxicity?
The side effects are what you'd expect from the systemic agents. If you look at historical controls or the general experience with hepatic artery infusion, there was less toxicity than we would have anticipated.
Specifically, what was seen with the hepatic infusions?
What you see mostly is an elevation of liver function tests, and those have to be responded to by the person delivering the therapy. One of the things that underpins the two modalities, and certainly using hepatic artery, is that having it done in a setting that's highly controlled and where the participants understand the drug and using it is key.
And what fraction of the patients had LFT abnormalities?
It's in the 10% range, and the toxicities were in the low end of the toxicity grading.
Is there anything that you can say about the recurrence rates?
No, the data on recurrence is not available yet.
Do we have good predictors about what those rates are based on the clinical situation?
You can look at a couple different things. You can look at prognostic indicators for success of treatment of metastatic disease. So if you take the classic prognostic indicators, which mostly include the disease state initially, so stage 2 or 3 initially, or if you want to say stage 2, 3, or 4, and then stage 4 patients are those who present with synchronous disease, and they have worse prognosis than patients who present with metachronous disease at 12-month interval between their primary colon cancer and their metastases. Then you look at the size of the metastases being less than 5 centimeters or greater than that, with the larger tumors being worse. And then look simply at the number of metastases. So if there's one metastasis, you have a better prognosis than if you have more than one. And probably the only controllable variable is the surgical margin. So if the surgical margin is negative of the resection of the metastasis, the prognosis is better than if it's positive. Whether it has to be a centimeter or 2 centimeters, that's very controversial, but it has to be negative.
What's the low and high end of what the cure rate or lack of recurrence rate is in this situation?
There's a remarkable wide spread. And if you look at the best case scenario, that's a patient with a long disease-free interval, who's younger, whose metastasis is less than 5 centimeters, who had no negative disease initially, and gets a complete surgical resection. Those patients are in the cure rates of about 60%. And I would anticipate that if some of those patients were not treated with adjuvant therapy initially, and now they're getting their first taste of chemotherapy, if you will, those patients may even have a better prognosis. And the low end is down around 5 to 15%, and that's the patient with 6 metastases, short disease-free interval, first cancer that was a Duke C or a stage 3, those patients do worse.
What did you eventually decide in terms of the number of patients you were going to need?
We went back and looked at Nancy Kemeny's classic paper in New England Journal of Medicine in December 99, and we looked at the difference between her two groups. And we said, we expect to do as well as the difference between her two groups, the group systemic versus systemic plus the infusional. And by using that number, we're able to do a power calculation and expect to put in 400 patients into the trial, 200 in each arm. And we also expected a dropout rate of about 20 to 25% based on intraoperative findings. Patients who had more than 6 metastases, patients who had extrahepatic disease. My opinion is that we're going to do better than that. And because along the course of developing the protocol, The use of PET scanning to evaluate metastatic disease has become much more widely used and available, also accepted and paid for in colorectal cancer. So with that, there are more surgeons, medical oncologists who are evaluating patients with metastatic disease and selecting a population with liver-only disease who will then come to the trial.
Clearly, there's been a tremendous change in philosophy in medical oncologists in terms of aggressively following patients up after primary treatment, looking for curable patients. It's been a big change just in the last few years in that attitude.
Yeah, I think that has been a really big attitude, probably based on the fact that we're much more successful and much less morbid in the liver operations. 15 years ago, you would ask somebody what the mortality from a liver operation was, and 5% was the quick response. In this population of patients with colorectal cancer metastatic to the liver, so they don't have underlying liver disease like the population of primary liver tumors, I would say the mortality should probably be less than 1%.
What's the primary endpoint or endpoints of the study?
The primary endpoint is a disease-free interval. So we're really looking at that disease-free interval, control of systemic and hepatic disease, as the primary endpoint. I think it's a pretty reasonable endpoint. There's some recent data, not even that recent, it's probably 2 years old now, that shows that if you look at that, it's an excellent predictor for where you'll be at 5 years also.
And of course, the adjuvant trials in general have moved in that direction.
It gives you quicker answers. The other thing that we're going to look at very carefully is the liver control. I've always said that there are really two issues when you're dealing with single organ identifiable metastases, and one is control of the single organ, and the other is control of the disease as a whole. Some of the previous lack of success was due to the fact that there weren't decent chemotherapeutic agents to come in with for that second round of adjuvant. Hopefully now, in some ways, we'll be taken care of by newer chemotherapeutic agents.